Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Brian, thank you very much. Well, we just have to turn our attention to the UK because Dominic Cummings is giving evidence to an MP to MPs into this inquiry into the handling of COVID-19. Let's take a quick listen to some of what he's been saying.
The truth is that senior ministers, senior officials, senior advisers like me fell disastrously short of the standards that the public has a right to expect of its government in a crisis like this. When the public needed us most, the government failed. And I'd like to say to all the families of those who died unnecessarily, how sorry I am for the mistakes that were made and for my own mistakes at that.
Well, Kevin Maguire is Associate Editor of the Daily Mirror and he joins me on the line. Kevin, I'm sorry to drag you away from this because it is ongoing. And as I said a little earlier, it is absolutely extraordinary what he's saying. That emotional beginning, I mean, that's not the Dominic Cummings that we would have expected to see today.
No, he's admitted his own failings that he should have responded quicker. But he's dropping a bomb on the government he was a part of, a prime minister he was incredibly close to. Get that they were the leading light in the Brexit campaign back in 2016. He said they fell disastrously short, senior ministers, senior officials, senior advisers, when the country, the public needed them most, and they failed. He said that Matt Hancock, the health secretary, lied so often that he, Dominic Cummings, wanted Boris Johnson to sack him. The cabinet secretary, the most senior civil servant, wanted to sack him. It's absolutely incredible evidence. I've seen nothing like this. It's just a sustained bombing of the government.
Kevin, let's have another listen to something from what he's been saying. He was asked about why the Prime Minister didn't attend the COBRA meetings, and he had this to say.
In February, the Prime Minister regarded this as just a scare story. He described it as the new swine flu.
Did you tell him it wasn't?
Certainly. But the view of various officials inside Number 10 was, if we have the Prime Minister chairing COBRA meetings and he just tells everyone, it's swine flu, don't worry about it, I'm going to get Chris Whitty to inject me live on TV with coronavirus so everyone realises it's nothing to be frightened of, that would not help actually serious planning.
Sorry, Kevin, just in case people miss that, he's claiming that Boris Johnson offered to be injected with COVID on TV.
Yep. It's an incredible, and you would think this is some type of bad comedy, something invented, but this is what he has said, and it suggests that the Prime Minister was rather flippant and dismissive of the danger of COVID, even when the evidence was building of people dying in Italy as well as in China. He also says when the government was trying to get a lockdown plan together, the Prime Minister was distracted because his girlfriend, his fiance, Carrie Simon, was going, quote, completely crackers, close quote, over a newspaper story about her dog, Dylan. Other senior people are said to have gone on skiing holidays at crucial times. The picture painted of Downing Street, the government, the top of the civil service, public institutions, public health bodies, is one of utter chaos and incompetence.
You see what he said at the beginning there, he apologised and admitted his own failings. But he did downplay his influence, didn't he? He said that it was the cabinet secretary, really, who was ultimately in charge.
He did, probably the first time he has downplayed his own influence. He has a giant ego, does Dominic Cummings, and he said he could just pop in and out of the Prime Minister's office. He didn't need to make an appointment through the civil servants. He'd come and go as he liked. They would WhatsApp each other, they would message each other, and they would speak to each other. So I think in that sense, he has accepted some culpability and shown some contrition. But there is also a distancing, and he is pointing the finger at people being more culpable than himself.
Much talk over the last few days about whether Number 10 was wanted to follow this strategy of herd immunity. What's he had to say about that?
Yeah, we're really waiting for that, actually. We haven't really gone into the detail of that. This session before MPs, there's two committees, the Science and Technology Committee and the Health Committee. It's going to last 4 hours. we're about an hour and a half into it now. So really, in herd immunity, we haven't really got to the meat of that and who said what and when.
Okay, well, let's move to when he pointed to two false assumptions that were made that he says had an impact on the UK's response to the pandemic.
First of all, the British public will not accept a lockdown. Secondly, the British public will not accept what was thought of as a kind of East Asian style track and trace type system and the infringements of liberty around that. Those two assumptions were completely central to the official plan and were both obviously completely wrong. And in the first half of March, this was raised sometimes in the Prime Minister's office, and me and others were literally pointing at the TV screen of Lombardy and saying, look at what's happening in Lombardy. We are getting text messages on our own phones from our own family saying what's going on. This assumption that the public won't, you know, basically aren't that frightened and don't want to have a lockdown is false.
So he's saying, Kevin, that the Prime Minister and the people around him, not Dominic Cummings, that they weren't able to read the British public.
That's right, and would have got it completely wrong. And Boris Johnson has always prided himself in being a populist politician, either can read the mood or create the mood. And he got it completely wrong here because, of course, when lockdown was finally imposed in March of last year, it was incredibly well observed. Dominic Cummings, bizarrely, was one of those who broke it with his trip to County Durham and his Barnard Castle eyesight.
Has he mentioned that yet?
It's been skirted round. I'm expecting it to be examined more thoroughly because, of course, the chairs of the committee, the former health secretary Jeremy Hunt and a former business secretary Greg Clark, the most of the questions so far. They're just inviting MPs now to contribute, and I think it's more likely one of the MPs will ask him because, of course, it goes to the heart of the credibility of Dominic Cummings himself. He is dropping bomb after bomb after bomb, but people trust him.
He's just dropping people in it. I see he's saying that the Cabinet Secretary, Mark Sedwill, on talking about Hancock, the Health Secretary, who is still the Health Secretary, attributing this to him, I've lost confidence in Hancock's ability to tell the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark Sedwill's no longer the
He's moved on. But still...
Absolutely. Matt Hancock is going to have to reply to this because if the cabinet secretary has said there's no confidence in him over procurement, buying protective equipment, Hancock has claimed that there were no national shortages. Everybody kind of knew that wasn't true, but he's claimed that. About 15 times he lied, said Cummings, who also wanted him sacked. It is. He's gone under the bus. He's throwing person after person under the bus.
I wonder how. I mean, it's so interesting to see it, and it's fascinating to see this play out. But how seriously will people take his claims and allegations? Will they matter?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Actually, there was a YouGov opinion poll found 55% of people don't trust Boris Johnson to tell the truth about COVID-19, but 75% of people don't trust Dominic Cummings to tell the truth. There's a big vaccine bubble at the moment buoying the Prime Minister. Evidence of sleaze, lying, incompetence has just sort of fallen off him all the time. He's almost been Teflon tough and resisted it. I can see, as I listen to Dominic Cummings, why the Prime Minister doesn't want a public inquiry under oath, reporting before the next general election, because if there's any more of this and it's coming out with other people in a public inquiry, certainly it could be absolutely devastating. So it's a terrible day for the government and how the United Kingdom is run, how the COVID response was handled. But will it do Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister, any lasting harm? That is a question we can't yet answer. It should. if even half of what Cummings says is true, but it may not.
What about this theory, Kevin, that Michael Gove won't be criticised by Cummings and that some Tory MPs suspect that Dominic Cummings and Michael Gove are working together? They want rid of Boris Johnson from number 10. Do you buy that?
Well, of course, they worked together, and Michael Gove had Dominic Cummings into the Department of Education when he was Education Secretary. It will be interesting to see who Cummings praises or doesn't criticise as much as those he does criticise. And so far, unless it's happened in the last few minutes, he hasn't criticised Michael Gove. But he was there right at the heart of the government response, Michael Gove. So could he have got everything right? I would have thought that is highly, highly unlikely. It will be interesting, as you say, to see what Cummings will say. He has praised the Chancellor, Rishi Sunak, and his response, but it's at the moment the people who really have got it in the neck from him, certainly the holidaying Prime Minister, who seemed to be worried about the dog because of his girlfriend, and Matt Hancock, the line in Cummings' words, Health Secretary.
We might just listen to that clip that references the dog. He said on the 12th of March he thought that things were going to change in terms of how COVID was being handled, but other business just got in the way.
That's how the day started off, with us thinking, OK, today is going to be all about COVID and whether or not we're going to announce the household quarantine. We then got completely derailed because in the morning of the 12th, suddenly the national security people came in and said, Trump wants us to join a bombing campaign in the Middle East tonight. And we need to start having meetings about that through the day with COBRA as well. So everything to do with COBRA that day was on COVID was completely disrupted because you had these two parallel sets of meetings. You had the national security people running in and out talking about, are we going to bomb the Middle East? And we had the COBRA meeting being delayed and whatnot as we were trying to figure out, are we going to do household quarantine? And then to add to the, it sounds so surreal, it couldn't possibly be true. That day, the Times had run a huge story about the Prime Minister and his girlfriend and their dog. And the Prime Minister's girlfriend was going completely crackers about this story and demanding that the press office deal with that. So we had this sort of completely insane situation in which part of the building was saying, are we going to bomb Iraq? Part of the building was arguing about whether or not we're going to do quarantine or not do quarantine. Prime Minister has his girlfriend going crackers about something completely trivial.
Dylan, the dog being the trivial matter, as he says. Kevin, you said this is going to last for 4 hours. Can you imagine how the Conservative government is feeling and all of the people around them, the permanent secretaries and so on?
Yeah, I would have thought a lot of heads in hands, people preparing responses, either thinking, God, it's terrible that's got out, or that is not true, and we have Prime Minister's questions in the middle of it. I would suspect it would break for that at noon, where I think Keir Starmer has got so much ammunition here, he's spoilt for choice. No, it's very, very difficult. It'll be interesting to watch tonight what the government starts briefing about coronavirus.
Do you see what he's just said here? It was completely crackers that people like himself and Boris Johnson were in charge. They let down talented, more junior colleagues in a case of lions led by donkeys.
Yeah, well, probably true on true on that. Now he is out and he is gone. Does that mean, is he saying that the number 10 is now headed by a donkey? That he sees Boris Johnson, who was his closest ally. He ran that Brexit campaign. Cummings came up with the Get Brexit Done slogan for the 2019 election, which Johnson said was the clincher, the big driving force behind his big majority. Is he really saying that he's a donkey now? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's gone from the, you know, from a comrade in arms to a mortal enemy.
Well,
it all happened very quickly.
He was saying earlier when he was talking about the briefings that were coming from the scientists that he was in those meetings and he didn't really understand a lot of what they were saying. So he's admitting that he didn't have the expertise on the scientific and medical side. Perhaps that's where he's going with that.
Yeah, well, again, it's he's downplaying his role there, because he's been very incredibly boastful in the past, privately and publicly. Maybe he's having his own day of reckoning and realizing that he wasn't quite as brilliant as he made himself out to be. I must admit, I always thought he was a bit of a deceitful two-bit and malevolent Rasputin. And I've heard and seen nothing to change my mind on that. I'm wondering how the United Kingdom could have been run by Dominic Cummings, how he could have run that successful referendum campaign, and now is just exposed as somebody who was just blundering around.
Well, Kevin, we're going to let you get back to watching and to listening. And if there are any more explosive comments from Dominic Cummings, and I kind of expect there will be before 12
yeah,
o'clock,
sure,
we'll certainly bring them to our listeners. But for now, Kevin, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Right, thank you.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.